You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
You may take your seats. God bless you, Ben. Thank you so much for helping focus us on the Lord today. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Ain't that the truth? Oh, I've been a slave to fear before. I'll even talk a little bit about that later on in the sermon, but I'm no longer a slave to fear, amen. God set me free from that in Jesus' name. I've been restored. I've been given hope and peace and joy. There you go. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, so often people are like, you know, church ought to be solemn and quiet. And you know what? I got no problem with a solemn and quiet church. You know, God bless them. But I know what Scripture says. It says to declare the goodness of God, to make a joyful noise, to praise Him with instruments, to make a joyful noise, amen, to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on now. And so I love being in church with all of you worshiping God. Has anyone, like seriously, hands up if God's answered prayers in your life. Hands up if you've prayed and you know, hey, God has answered my prayers. Man, I've been hearing from so many people over the last couple of weeks how God has just delivered them from unbelievable situations. You know, I've been speaking to people who just want to have children and God's responded to their prayers. To people who have wanted to adopt and they're finally through the process and now can start to happen. To people who have been desperate for work and God has provided them with work, amen. With jobs that, you know what other people said, maybe you shouldn't apply for that. Just stick to your own, you know, stripes with stripes, spots with spots kind of thing, you know. You're just a spot, don't apply for the stripes. But they applied for the stripes and guess what? God came through, amen. I've spoken to other people who business things should have gone one way, but God come in and things went a whole nother way. No explanation. Why did it happen? Because God is good. Amen. And we got the favor of God on our lives. Amen. And when we reach out to God, when we're drowning and we feel like everything's come against us, God's not up there saying, hey, you're not praying to me, so I'm going to drown you, sucker. God's there with his hand out saying, come on, just reach out to me and I'll pull you out of that in Jesus' name. Amen. And we just got to reach out because prayer works, doesn't it? Last week we talked about praying scripture and a little bit more about how to pray for people who have never prayed before and people who just haven't known what can I pray about. And it was a wonderful week. And if you missed out on that, you can get the podcast. It's on iTunes. Just search for Eternity Church Des Moines. There is a fake Eternity Church Des Moines that's not us with sort of a blurry logo of ours. Don't click on that one. We're trying to find a way to get them booted off. But go to the one with the clear logo. That's us. Amen. And people just want to be us, right? And so just go to the right one when you're on there. That'll be fantastic. And the podcast of last week's is up there. And the sermon notes are also on the website at myeternitydm.com/sermons, which is where you would put the sermons, isn't it? And you can go there for the notes. If you wanted those scriptures that we used, the examples that we gave of how you could pray scripture and turn that scripture into a prayer, get on there, have a look at that, be encouraged. And it was just an exciting time in church last week to see people be inspired to pray the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is full of so much beauty, so much truth, so much encouragement, but so much of God's thoughts toward you. And we turn them back around, we send them back to Him, and we say, God, yeah, that's what I want. Thank you. Amen. And so get on there, have a look at that. But we're doing prayer again. Week number 7. Come on now. Are we ready for week 7 of prayer? Can we do that? Or is it getting a bit old? Getting a bit old? Come on, is it good? Come on, we want to pray. Hands up if you really have been inspired to pray more over these last 7 weeks, yeah? You've just been thinking, you know, I want to pray more. It's not out of I need to or I'm going to go to hell. It's out of I want to pray more. I want to be that convinced that God is interested in my life that I spend time talking to him about it, amen? Anyone feeling like that? God, even as I've been preaching it, and I'm sure that Christian Walk and Jed Spear and Pastor Ed, I'm sure that all of these guys who have preached the word to you could say the same thing, that even as we've been preaching it, that we have felt inspired just to go deeper in our relationship with the Lord, yeah? And it's exciting. So I want to talk to you about prayer again, and we're going to sort of go into about praying together and the importance of us coming together as a church and praying like we do on Sundays. We always get together up here and, you know, people need something. They need to come to God and they're asking God for something in their lives. And we know, like there's power in confession, like there's power in using our mouths, amen, to declare the goodness of God and to pray to God and to confess that he is Lord of our lives, amen, and to ask for the forgiveness of sins. Like there's power in all of that. There's power in being together. Scripture says repeatedly about the importance of being together, amen. So imagine if you put prayer and confession of your mouth together with being together. That sounds like a superstorm right there brewing up, ready to do something incredible in the kingdom of God, amen. And so that's why we want to talk to you about the power of being together. That's why on Sundays at Eternity Church, there will never, ever, ever be a Sunday where you can't come forward and have someone stand with you and pray with you or for you for whatever it is that you need. Because there's power in prayer, power in what we confess with our mouths, and power in being together. Amen? And so we're going to talk about that a bit more today. But I've prayed for so many things through school, even. Like if you're like me, you needed prayer to get through that thing. A brutal time in my life. School's brutal, isn't it? You think I'm skinny now. You should have seen how skinny I was at school. Come on. I didn't put on an ounce of weight from when I was 3 years old till I was about 17. Maybe 16. I was so skinny, I had to run around in the shower just to get wet. Come on, the needles were going both sides of me. You think I'm skinny now? Good grief. And then I turned 16. I finally start putting on some weight. Like I grew a muscle in my left arm. It was amazing. And then I had heart surgery and it dropped off me like a lead balloon. Boom, gone. It's like, well, that was a tease, wasn't it? Finally started to look like my brother's getting bigger and it dropped off me. But man, there were some days when I was younger, particularly where whether or not people were saying anything about me, I was so ashamed and so, you know, horrified of how flipping skinny I was, you know? And it took prayer, literally prayer, to say, God, help me through this. There are strange things you got to pray about, right? Now, I'm not trying to say that, hey, skinny people have had it the same as overweight people, but come on, I tell you what, I was always like, why is everyone so sad for people who are overweight and they feel bad? Come on, I feel bad. I feel horrible. I feel like a little, you know, no one would even see me if I turned sideways. Come on. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, I literally felt like that and y'all are laughing at me. It was bad. Now I'm really sad. But I was always confused about that. I'm like, come on now, what about me? It isn't fair. I've had enough, now I want my share, can't you see? I've sung that song once before, haven't I? It didn't work then either, did it? Yeah. And then I couldn't sing at school. I felt bad about that too. But seriously, I had to pray to get through school. I needed some sort of self-confidence. I needed the hand of God in my life because I felt like I was, you know, people didn't even say it to me. It's amazing what we think people think, and they're not thinking anything because they're students. They're waiting to be told what to think. And sometimes it's amazing what we assume people are thinking, isn't it? And I assumed everyone was thinking, man, that guy is so skinny. Like every time someone sees me, their first thought is, man, that dude's skinny. And that I barely even saw that dude. I thought that. So I needed God to come in and help me through that, amen? I needed the hand of God in my life to give me a bit more confidence in who I am and who he created me to be and whose opinion even matters. I prayed that I'd get a wife because I did think a skinny dude like that couldn't get a wife. I prayed a lot about getting a wife. I had some pretty strict rules about it too. She needed to be a fox. A foxy lady. I wasn't marrying anyone unless she was a fox. And when you're super skinny, you know you better pray about that. Because that's not going to happen on your own. You think Lauren was going to marry me? Come on, she got tricked. She prayed a prayer that said something like, hey, God, I'll do anything you want. And he says, marry him. She's like, oh, man. So she did. Come on now. Come on. I wanted a good wife. But see, I didn't pray like, hey, God, I'm just trusting and believing. And in all seriousness, hey, God, I'm asking you for a wife. I know that you'll provide me with a wife better than I could ever find on my own. So, hey, while you set that up, I'm going to go down to the bar and try and find one. It doesn't work like that, does it? You know, if you're going to ask God for something, you might want to trust him to do that something, yeah? Come on, you might want to look in the places where you might find one of those sort of women, right? And so I found her in church. No offense if you found your wife or husband in the bar. God bless you. I'm glad that happened because now you're here and God's doing great things. But if you're praying and asking God to do something in your life, you might want to trust him to do that thing that you're asking to do. Amen? And I prayed for a car when I needed one. I prayed for my mom and dad, and I still am. My parents split up when I was very young, and my dad got remarried to a wonderful woman named Wendy. I call her mom. She's a great woman. I pray for my dad, I pray for my mom, and I pray for my mom. That was confusing. Imagine how confusing it was when I was 10. I prayed God would use me, and I prayed that he'd help me be strong and be courageous. I've prayed about a lot of things. Things I can't even remember. Things that you might not even think deserve praying about. But I tell you what, I'd rather pray for too many things than not enough things. Amen? It's like someone, I'd rather my kids tell me too much than not tell me enough, right? Like we have kids and sometimes they share and they come home from school and they want to talk to you about all sorts of trash that you just don't care about. And so you say, look, come on, shush, 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 shush. And then we wonder why they won't talk to us about the stuff they do care about. You better listen to the trash if you want to hear the stuff you want to hear, amen? You better overshare with God rather than undershare. You may as well tell him everything than nothing. And so I would tell him stuff I don't even remember praying about. But there are a few prayers in my life that I remember exactly what I prayed, how it felt, and what changed. I remember when I went to have heart surgery, like I said, I was super skinny around 16, started putting on some weight, thank you, Jesus. And then my heart started to decide that it didn't want to do what it was supposed to do. And so I had to go have heart surgery. And so they were literally about to cut my heart out of my chest. And I remember this tremendous sense of fear that had started to overcome me. Just a tremendous sense of fear. Like almost so much fear that I felt like the fear itself was going to knock me out before the heart ever could. You know what I'm saying? You ever felt like that before? And so there I am, overcome by fear, freaking out about a heart surgery because the doctor was kind enough to let me know that some people die. Thanks, mate. Tell my parents that, not me. Right? 17, apparently he had to. And so I was freaking out. I remember the debilitating, just unbelievable sense of fear. I remember before that even thinking, well, even if I survive that, I'll probably die at 30. Even if I survive that, well, they'll probably mess something up. And then I won't last till I'm 40. Well, I better not have kids because they'll be fatherless. You know, these crazy fears that would overcome a young man. I remember then saying, finally admitting that I was scared because I acted like I was tough, you know, because I was 16, 17. I think I was 17 at the time, actually. I was 17. Of course I was going to act tough. That's what we do. We're great at that. But being tough's a whole nother thing. And so I finally admitted to my auntie Gail. Remember Pastor Paul Geerling? He's preached here a few times, three times, I think. He's coming back again in August. Come on, that's good. And we love Pastor Paul. So he's coming back. His mum, my auntie Gail, I remember going to the front of church one Sunday, just like we do every week here, and saying, Auntie Gail, I'm freaking out. I'm not just freaking out about dying on the surgery table. I'm freaking out about dying afterwards, about dying later on, about not getting to do all the things that God promised me that I would get to do with my life. I remember it as if it was this morning, just standing up there weeping and reaching out to God as Auntie Gail is praying for me. And then she stops praying and she says, now you pray. She says, now you pray. If you don't know what to pray, pray what I just prayed. So there I am starting to pray. And I remember in the midst of it, this tremendous experience. As fear just literally dropped off me, I felt like it dropped off me like I was holding some dumbbells in my hand and I dropped them on the ground. You could almost hear it hit the ground. As fear dropped off me, as it was replaced with peace. And not just peace, but hope. You see, peace is one thing, but I want hope for the future, amen? And God gave me this amazing sense of hope right there at church, because prayer works, because prayer changes lives, because prayer brings heaven to earth in my life. And somehow in this bizarre turn of events, I became excited about the surgery. It's in like the next day or 1 or 2 days later. And I've been freaking out for 5 days since I found out I had to have been freaking out, like going nuts. And then all of a sudden, I'm bizarrely excited about having someone rip my heart out of my chest. Because God did something great in me where I realized that, you know what? His word in my life, His promises in my life are going to happen. And you know what? He never said you'll survive heart surgery. He said you'll be a minister, right? He said this is what you'll do with your life. You'll get married, you'll have kids, you'll live a long life. He said that you will be a pastor, that thousands of people will be saved under your ministry, and that heaven will rejoice. Now here's the thing I knew. When he reminds me of that, well I'm not going to die in heart surgery or even 10 years later, because God's got work to do in my life, amen? And so this bizarre feeling where fear got turned into a bizarre sense of excitement as I understood that I'd be able to look at that surgery and say, get stuffed, devil. Nothing you throw at me can stop what God wants to do in my life. I want to tell you the same thing, that nothing the devil throws at you can stop what God wants to do in your life. It doesn't matter if it's a Mack truck at 100 mile an hour hitting the side of your SUV, my friend. Nothing can stop what God wants to do with your life. Can I get an amen? Amen? I've prayed for so many things. Things I can't even remember. Little things, big things. Man, I remember when I lived at Tea Tree Gully. I lived in Ross Trevor, and there was a shopping mall. Man, every now and again, I still get into this zone. Now I've been here 4 years. Now I'm at the spot where I don't know if that's what you call it or if that's what we call it. You know, it's this weird, weird sort of time in my life right now where I don't know which is which, you know. I don't know what's left, what's right, you know. But anyway, so I was at a shopping mall, and I'd always pray as I was going in there, God, give me a great park. Now, you know what? I'm sure God was like, you selfish little son of a gun. You selfish little boy, you've got strong legs, go park somewhere. But anyway, I always got one, and whether it was God or not, I was just like, yeah, he loves me. And kind of like Brandon McNays, anytime something good happens in his life, anytime, no matter what it is, he goes, Jesus loves me, that's why. And you know what? I love that. Don't you love that? Come on now, anything good, anything from a small thing like a parking space at the gym. Yeah, yeah. You know, about 2 Saturdays ago, I was going to the gym because it was Saturday morning, and that's what I do. It was about 9 o'clock, and I was usually I go about 8, but I was running on Saturdays usually about 8, and I was running late because I was really busy helping my wife around the house, you know. And not helping my wife around the house, helping ourselves, the family, because it's my house too, you know, and my responsibility as well, right? So just doing things around the house like a good man does, and that made me late. And so as I am leaving, my wife says to me, you know what, I hope, since you're leaving me with the kids, I hope you get the worst parking space in the place. The gym is going to be full. It's 9 in the morning. I hope you have to park way down the back. To which I reply, Jesus loves me so much, I'll park right up the front. Thank you very much. You'll never guess where I got to park. Right down the front. Come on now. So I take a photo, and of course I send that to my wife. My favorite text message I've ever sent her was that photo where you can see the car and 3 feet away, the brick wall of the gym. Come on now. Anyone else feel like that was good? Yeah. No? And then a week later on a Saturday as well, she's like, you know, you're going to get a bad park. No, Jesus loves me. He'll give me a park right down the front. And boom, right down the front. This time like the first parking space. Y'all aren't convinced, are you? Yeah, you saw pictures, right? That's right. I put them on Facebook. Just wanted to show you that Jesus loves me more than Lauren. No, not Jesus loves me more than he loves Lauren. He loves me more than Lauren loves me. All right? Yeah, geez, relax. Y'all, come on, calm down. So I'll move on then. We'll move on. So I've prayed about all sorts of things. I've prayed about little things. I've prayed about big things, all sorts of things. But I've prayed about some big things too. Christian Walker, 2 weeks ago, talked about prophetic prayer, hearing from God and praying for what God speaks to you about in your life. Hearing from God and then putting faith in action, declaring it and praying for it in Jesus' name. See, when Lauren and I first heard about the opportunity to apply for the position of lead pastor at Jordan Creek Family Church, and if you're new, 4 years ago, this was called Jordan Creek Family Church, and it was meeting in a theater there. And so I heard about the opportunity to apply for that position. Now, we didn't start to plan. We went to pray. You understand? See, we didn't just go, let's go make a plan about that. We went to pray. Because we felt God drop something on our heart, so we went to pray. Lauren stayed home with Judah and Eli, who Judah was 2 years old and Eli at that point was 8 weeks old. And I went to the bush. I went out bush. I took my sleeping bag. Sorry, I took my swag, which is basically just a waterproof sleeping bag so you can sleep under the stars and, you know, with the snakes and stuff, good fun. And I was out there. Something about God's natural creation to me that I just love praying in the bush, you know. Something about looking around and going, man, God made that, God made that, God made that. This is how God made it. I just love it. It inspires me. So I took my swag out there and started to pray. Now, not everything needs a night in the bush, right? But if you're going to move your family across the world and take a job as a lead pastor in a church that can't even afford the visa and lawyer fees for your immigration, you better hear from God, right? Would that be right? And in a situation like that, you ought to pray. Now, for me, that meant it needed a night in the bush. And when you do hear from God, you have faith and you never stop until you get what He said will happen. And so God spoke to both of us. So to one of us, He said, go when Pastor Warren resigns. And to the other, He said something like, honor Pastor Warren. And so 4 or 5 days later, Warren submitted his resignation. So that was a surprise. We're like, he's been the lead pastor for 32 years. My wife and I both feel like when he resigns, God is saying, you're released, go move overseas and take a church. And then he resigns in 5 days. So that was crazy. That scared us a lot. Lauren's like, no. Yes. And so we send our application to the search team, which is just a fancy name for Jed and Christian. But we can call them the search team. Would the search team please stand up? There's one of them. There's the other one, all right? And they decide not to respond for months. And I will never let them forget that. And it will get into at least one sermon every year for the next 35 years. And then the next pastor will know that they need to make sure your kids know every single year that you didn't respond for months. So we'd heard from God. We'd even seen what God said would happen begin to unfold. So we pray and we sell everything. We no longer have a house, a car, belongings. We had a garage sale and sold it all before we'd even submitted our visas. Come on, we hadn't even asked the government if we can come. Did I say that right? Government? I love that word, government. And God comes through. Long story short, the church hires me. We get visa approvals. We book flights in faith before the visas had arrived. Passports with visas in them arrive 15 minutes before we leave for a 4-hour drive to Melbourne to catch our flights. It's kind of crazy, right? We only spent 12 grand on flights without having visas in our hands. And why do I share this? Because I would go for walks around the hills of Albury-Wodonga praying every day. That's how I was able to have faith to know we're making the right choices. Because I was in communion with God. Because I was praying. Because I was walking around talking to Him. Selling our stuff. Moving in with family. Booking tickets when your visas haven't even arrived. Moving your family to the other side of the world. Some of you say things like, how do you have faith like that? Right? People say that all the time. I used to wonder it myself. I want to tell you how, and I want you to listen to what I say. I have faith like that because I know God. You hear that? So how do you have faith like that that says, I'll sell everything when they haven't even replied to my email, Jed and Christian? How do you have faith like that? How? How do you tell your new boss that's replacing your old boss that you're moving to the other side of the world, specifically telling them the name of the church and the town and what God's going to do, when Jed and Christian haven't even responded yet? Not even, hey, dude, we got your email. Not even that. Come on now. How do you do that? Because I know God. I know him. How do I know him? Because I've spent so much time in prayer with him that I know when he speaks. How do I know when God's speaking is what people say all the time. Go hang out with him. Go hang out with him. Spend time with him. Start to learn to hear him. Start to learn to discern the voice of God versus the, I want a new Ferrari. Go hang out with him. Yeah? Go spend time with God. Time in worship, not just here, but at home. In your car, in your shower, in your basement, on a walk around the block, on a hot day, on a cold day. Go spend time with him. Get to know him. Start to share with him the desires of your heart. See, I've spent so much time in prayer that I know what he does. Yeah, it's not just I know him, I know what he does. You know what he does? He does what he says he'll do. So I've spent enough time with him to know when he speaks. And then I've spent enough time with him to know that when he says, hey, you do this and I'll do that, that when I do this, he does that. I spent time with him in prayer, in worship, getting to know him. I spent enough time with him in prayer that I know I can trust him. See, I know that God loves my family more than I do. See, I know that what I'm actually trying to do for my family is to love them like he does. I'm actually looking at God to learn how to love like he does. And so if I'm just trying to find a way to love my family as much as he loves them, then I know that I can trust that when he says, do this to your family, that it will be better for them if I do that than if I don't. Amen? See, I trust him. Spend enough time with him. And if you want to have great faith, you know, you just got to start with a little bit of faith. If you want to have great big faith that you could trust your God to move you across it, or do you know what, for me, that's not even the biggest things I've got faith in now. I mean, I'm believing for so much more than that. Like that for me, that was the beginning of faith. Man, now God has challenged me to do so much more than that. Things that I can't even fathom happening if he doesn't step in and do it. But come on, it's got to start somewhere. Just start with small faith. You want great faith? Start with small faith. Just start by talking to him. Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. Now, so often we think about small faith and we think that it's talking about a quantitative measure of faith, small versus big. You hear I've often said the very beginning of faith. You've heard me say that lots of times, haven't you? Because I don't believe that the mustard seed represents a size of faith. It represents the beginning of faith. You see, everyone who has any faith has faith like a mustard seed. It's the beginning of faith. And just the very beginning of faith in God is enough to move mountains. Amen. Just believing in God and asking him to do something is enough to change situations. See, God has spoken to me and the team about our church. Thousands of people that will come to know Jesus because we, you, me, are here. People are going to come to know him. I believe the day will come where every soul that lives in Des Moines will have heard of Jesus. And the day will come when every person will have heard of Eternity Church. And they'll know that when they need hope, this is where they come. Eternity Church is where they need to go. Acts 1, 4-16 says, and I'm going to read it real quick. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken into heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. I'm going to skip a few verses. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the dates or times the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And after this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as it was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before him. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you saw him go." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those arrested." Now listen to me. Jesus promised something. Jesus spoke into their lives. He promised them something, the Holy Spirit. You may stand up with me, church. See, in Acts, God promised something. He promised the believers something. And then we see them together praying constantly, asking God to move. Amen. Constantly in prayer, it says. And you know what happens? Not long after that, something incredible happens where God does exactly what he said he would do. The Holy Spirit comes and the church explodes into thousands of people, starting here with 120 people, praying together, and it explodes. In my life, God promised me something. I had faith, believed, and it exploded. And now as a church, God's spoken to us. We have faith and we pray together and believe to do what God has called us to do. And it will explode like it did in the book of Acts when we come together and pray. Now, not all of you can come every week. I know that. But we do have a few people that come and pray here on Tuesday mornings. At 7:15, lifting you up in prayer. A few people that come here every Tuesday morning at 7:15 and lift you up in prayer. And I want to tell you, as much as I regret to say it, I do not believe that the things that God's called our church to do will happen unless we pray together. I don't believe, and I've gone over time, but you need to know this is so important. I do not believe that the things that God has called us to do will happen unless we pray together. We need to come to you. See, I dream about the day school principals beg us to get involved in their schools. And cities and suburbs pray for an eternity church campus near them. And thousands of souls are coming to Jesus. And orphans finding a father in heaven. And poor people being fed, clothed, loved, cared for, and shown the cross. And old people rejoicing as they see young people worshiping. I dream about whole community transformation. But I know something about how it's going to happen. Prayer, seeking God, hearing God, obeying God, trusting God, not just at home, but together. Amen. Church, we're just going to worship him right now. We're going to end up being about 10 minutes over today. 5 or 10 minutes, and I apologize, but I don't want to miss out on praying for people now. And if you have anything in your life that you need prayer, let us come together right now and pray for you. Don't do this alone. Together, there's power. Confession, there's power. And prayer, there's power. Let's do it all together down the front here. If you're in here and you need prayer, then come on down the front. As soon as I walk off, we're going to sing Revelation song. And as I walk off, you come down the front here. And we're going to stand with you, believe with you, and pray. But you know what? I want to encourage you to take every opportunity to pray for each other outside of here, at small group, at home group, in the coffee shop, at lunches, at business, when you walk out of church, after church, in the foyer, down the front, everywhere. Take the opportunities to pray together, because you will see miracles happen like I've seen, like you deserve to see, and like the book of Acts saw when we pray together in Jesus' name. So come on, let's sing right now in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.